Once upon a time, a long, 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 long time ago, there was a king called King Daksha. Now, this story happens way before Ramayana and Mahabharata and all of that. It's right when, at one of the earliest times of the universe, Brahma, who is also known as the creator in Hindu and Indian mythology, he had just created Bhulok, Patal Lok, and Devlok.
And he was still adding more things there.
Yeah, and Bhulok had just a few people, a few animals like that. And Daksha was one of those, you know, who had been created. And Daksha had, and his wife had a daughter called Sati. Sati was a very, very good kid. She grew up nicely, and you know, she was intelligent and hardworking and always respectful to her parents and teachers. And when she reached her 20s and decided to kind of settle down, marry someone, Daksha and his wife, they were asking Sati, what kind of person would you like to marry? And Sati looked at several people, and she wanted to take some time and also travel, and she did that. Now, on one of her travels, she came across a person, okay, in the forest. Yeah, similar to, you're right, it's very similar to the Savitri story. And Sati met him. Now, this person had traveled not just to Lok, but he had traveled all the three worlds. He called himself Shiva. And he was a very interesting person because he had long hair. He didn't have any princely clothes or anything like that. He just wore some skin, you know, and on his body. And he in fact said that he had some amazing powers, like he could destroy things and all of that. And on his neck was also a snake, a live snake. And he could talk to animals. He could converse in their language. And Sati was really intrigued by this person. And he knew many mysteries of the universe, right? And so they met several times. And Sati really liked this person. So Shiva is also called as Bholanath. You know, he was very naive. You know, Shiva is interesting God because he has some extremes. He is Bholanath because he is naive and he likes everyone and talks to everyone, but he is also short-tempered, and in many stories, including this one, you will find out. And Shiva is also not a god who cares much for pomp and show. That means he doesn't have a giant palace, you know, he doesn't have like necklaces and jewelry and fancy clothes and all of that, right? He's very simple. And so Sati likes Shiva, and Shiva also likes Sati. And so after some time of meeting, they decided that they want to spend time together and settle down. They want to get married. When Daksha and his wife heard it, they said, "No, we cannot allow this marriage." "But why?" said Sati. "No, Shiva, he is a vagabond. We have even heard that he roams everywhere. He just doesn't, you know, he doesn't have anything with him. Why would you want to be? You will also have to go everywhere with him and you will have nothing. You are a princess, right?" But Sati thought about it, what they were saying. "But I really like him. I don't care for all of those things," she said. Now, Daksha and his wife were not happy, but Sati went ahead and the marriage happened. Now, some time went by and Sati and Shiva decided to stay in Kailash, which is one of the mountains in the Himalayas, an icy pinnacle, you know, on top of it. They made a small hut kind of place, you know, and started living there. Some time went by. But Daksha and his wife, you know, even though Sati and Shiva had married and all that, the relationship was not good. You know, they were not really meeting. They were not going to Kailash, or Shiva and Sati were not coming. And one day, Sati got to know that Daksha was performing a big yagna. A yagna is a religious event, you know. They have the holy fire, a lot of rishis will attend, and they usually in those they ask for good things to happen to everyone, right? And that kind of an event. And Daksha had invited practically everyone from all the three worlds. Even the gods were invited for that, you know, Agni, Vayu, Varuna, Indra, and, well, not really the demons. Daksha was not in good terms, in friendly terms with them. And, you know, some of the rishis, you know, of those times who were there, Rishi Bhrigu Rishi, he was going to be the main person who is going to help do the yagna. So a lot of people, you know, were invited, important people were invited. But Sati felt really sad that her husband, Shiva, who was also no less than any god, you know, because he had the power, you know, he was the destroyer, he was not invited, right? But Shiva said, don't worry about that, Sati, it's going to be fine. You know, I mean, I understand that, you know, they didn't want to invite us, it's okay. But Sati thought about it again and again, and she thought, you know, we should go, Shiva. It's my home after all. I grew up there. It's my home. So what? I got married. It's still my home. We should go. And Shiva thought, and he said, you know what? I don't think I want to come. I just won't be comfortable. You go ahead if you want. And he told Nandi, you know, the bull, who is also Shiva's disciple, right? He's almost like he's always with Shiva, right? And he said, Nandi, you go with Sati to Daksha's kingdom for this yagna, okay? And make sure you guys are safe and come back as soon as it's over. So Nandi and Sati arrived. The yagna was going on, and just like Sati had heard, everyone was there. It was a grand celebration. Remember what I said, there were not many kings in that time, and this was a very big event that was happening on Bulo, and the gods were there. And as the yagna was proceeding, you know, Daksha noticed that Sati was there, and he was not happy. He was very bitter. So when you get angry with someone, is it right to keep thinking of bad things about them, keep feeling bitter? What do you guys think?
No,
right? I mean, it's okay. It's okay to feel angry sometimes, but you also have to let the anger go. There's no point in keeping it. It's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for them. It's not going to help anyone. But Daksha, unfortunately, did not realize this. He continued to be mad. And in fact, he got so furious that at one time when they were talking about things, somehow it went to the topic of Shiva, and he said, I am ashamed of my son-in-law. My son-in-law, he just roams everywhere. I don't know what he does. He has this snake on him. I don't know if he takes bath. He's not a coward really, but he is very bitter. You know, he didn't like that Sati did not listen to him, right? And so he went on and on and on. Sati feels very sad, and initially she tried to tell, no, he's really not like that. I agree that he doesn't have a palace and all that, but he is a very nice person. He's very kind, you know. He helps a lot of people, and he has an important role too in all this. But Daksha wouldn't stop, went on and on and on. And at one time, you know, Sati feels so sad. Initially she tries to, but she feels so sad that she doesn't know what to do. And in her sadness, she feels, if my dad, my father is talking like this, then I don't want to be alive at all. And in a sad moment and a dramatic moment, she enters the fire right there, right? And everyone is stunned, and Nandi is totally stunned, because he is like, he doesn't know what's happening here. And before he could do anything, you know, Sati has already entered, And all he can do is take her body. By now she is no more, and he takes her body and quickly as possible, he goes back to Kailash. And when Shiva is there, he's a little surprised to see Nandi coming towards. And what is he holding? He's thinking, right? And Nandi is in tears. And he says, "Lord Shiva, please forgive me. I could not save Sati." And Shiva, when he sees it, he just cannot believe his eyes, right? He is totally stunned. He never even dreamed of this. "What happened, Nandi?" he asks. And Nandi kind of haltingly tells him what happened. "I'm really sorry, Shiva. This was so unexpected. It happened. It's my fault." And Shiva, at that moment, he cannot think straight. He is in sorrow, yes, but first emotion he gets is anger. Remember I said Shiva is short-tempered, and he is infuriated. He cannot see reason. And he takes two strands of his hair and puts it on the floor and stomps on them, and out come two giant figures. One is Veerabhadra and one is Bhadrakali. And they say, "Shiva, we are ready. What do you want us to do?" And Shiva, you cannot think straight, right? And he says, "Go and destroy Daksha's kingdom. Don't spare anyone. Anybody who is there, I want all of them destroyed." And they race ahead. And Nandi says, "Shiva, calm down. But Shiva is not one to stop, right? And he starts as well going behind. He's holding Sati, who's no more now. He's holding her, but he goes with Nandi. He's still furious. And as they arrive at the Yagna, there's still a few things going on, and everyone is there. And Veerabhadra and Bhadrakali, who are like almost mythical beasts, you know, they are like huge, they are like demonic looking, and they have so much power, and people don't know why they have come, who are they have no idea. And they just go berserk in the Yagna, right? Shiva's anger is going through them. They destroy, they ruin everything out there, right? And the Indra is running away now. He's being chased by them. And Shiva says, "All of you are going to pay for this, because none of you stopped this from happening. What kind of people are you who let her enter the fire? It's all of your faults." And in his rage, he opens his third eye. Now Shiva has this third eye with which he can destroy, right? When he opens it, a ray of light comes, and whoever is in front of it is immediately converted to ash. And as he looks towards, he with his third eye open, several people are killed, and one of them is also Sati's father, Daksha. He's reduced to ashes. And next, Shiva is walking. The whole city is ruined now, destroyed, and he is on a rampage. He's destroying anything and everything. And this word, Indra, somehow he escapes from there and goes to Devlok and tells Vishnu and Brahma, "You have to stop. Shiva is going to destroy the whole universe. See the way he's going. He's unstoppable now. He's using his power, yes, but he's going to kill everything. I understand he's upset, he's angry and all that, but he needs to be stopped." And Shiva is exactly doing that. He is destroying one by one. All of Brahma's creation he is destroying. So this is an important thing, right? When we are angry, many times we do feel like that, right? Like destroying everything. But it's not the right thing to do. And that's exactly what Shiva realizes as well. So Brahma and Vishnu come to him and say, "Shiva, we agree what happened to Sati was wrong. You know, that should have never happened. Should never ever happen in the history again. Nobody else should do like that to anyone, but you need to calm down. A lot of people who had nothing to do with it, they're also getting killed now. You need to stop." And at that time Shiva realizes that, yeah, that is true. I mean, they do have a valid point. I'm unnecessarily destroying things which had nothing to do with the Yagna. And he calms down. But now, instead of anger, he is filled with sadness. And this is what happens to all of us. First we face, when something doesn't go right, you face the anger, right? And then you have sadness. So it's important to control that anger, right? And that's what Shiva realizes. But he's sad. He has nothing to look forward to now. And with Sati in his arms, he roams around everywhere. And he stops in many places. And those places have come to be known now as Shaktipitas, right? Where the power of Sati and Shiva visited that place. So they are considered as holy, you know, by many people. And Shiva does this for a long, long time, many, many years. And then finally he goes back to Kailash. In that icy cold mountains, he sits for a deep penance. Now he wants to calm down himself. He regrets some of the things he did, you know, how he destroyed and how he should have calmed down. And yes, what happened was wrong, but you know, one wrong thing you cannot correct with another wrong thing, right? That's what he realizes and sits down for a long meditation and a penance. Several years go by now, right, like this. And then one day, you know, what happens is, as Shiva is moving around in those mountains, walking around, he meets a girl, you know, about the same, very similar to how he met Sati. And he finds out that her name is Parvati, and she's a princess as well. She is the daughter of the Himavan king, right, who is the king of the Himavan kingdom. And interestingly, what has happened is, after many, many years, Parvati is really Sati, who is now reborn again. And her father is now Himavat, who is really Daksha, right? Who is reborn now in the next life. And very similar to the past, Shiva and Parvati start meeting. They really like each other. And whenever he meets, Shiva feels like he is with Sati. And she feels that somehow there is a connection with him. Right, because she is really Sati. And unlike the last time, this time when they mention it to the king Himavat, you know, when Parvati mentions it, he happily agrees to the wedding, and the wedding of Shiva and Parvati happen, right? And this king is also known as Parvateshwar, and that's why she's called Parvati. And with the wedding done, Shiva and Parvati move to Kailash and settle down. And that's the end of this story. The end.
Thank you for listening to this podcast.